B-Pod Studios.
Hi, this is Kevin Owens, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Great name, Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast. So what does that mean? You guys aren't allowed to discuss if anything happens outside the ropes? What if somebody gets clotheslined over the top rope? Do you guys cover the Royal Rumble? These are questions I need answered. Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with two geniuses who came up with this name.
Yes, Kevin Owens, we do cover the Royal Rumble, and this episode is dedicated to the Royal Rumble. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including Over Under 98.5. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. It is Royal Rumble season. It is the show before, it is the podcast before the Royal Rumble. I'm very excited. This show is going to be very simple and to the point. It's Mike Riley. It's Joe Murray. We're going to give you our picks for the winners of the men's and women's Rumble matches. And for those who we didn't pick, we're going to discuss their odds and their chances of winning. Joe and Mike, I'm going to start and say I think John Cena is going to be in the Royal Rumble match. I think he's going to win it. To the bigger point, I think that a name that has not been announced for the Royal Rumble match on the men's side is going to win the thing. In short, I'm picking John Cena to win because the chase for Championship 17 feels like a very mainstream, simple Fox TV story you can get behind, and you can go John Cena versus Brock Lesnar as a main event WrestleMania match, or John Cena versus The Fiend, and that's a superhero John Cena trying to overcome the odds of the supervillain. And so John Cena, my pick to be a mystery entrant and to win the Royal Rumble match.
Mm.
Guys, what do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I like the pick. I respect it. Don't agree with it, but you've been on that John Cena train for a long time here as we come into WrestleMania, and then, you know, everything, the cards kind of line up there in his favor because he lives in Florida. The main event of the Brock Lesnar matchup there and the championship chase certainly makes sense. The question is, if you put Cena in the Royal Rumble, which I'm not ruling out he will be, where do you enter him? Where do you put him? In the middle, the beginning, the end? Where do you see him at?
I would say 30. I would say anywhere from 25 to 30. And John Cena won the Royal Rumble as a mystery entrant in 08 from the number 30 position in Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
So there's precedent for this. And we all know WWE likes to redo the same storyline. So why not do it here?
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. It'd be a good story.
Mike Riley, who is your pick to win the male Royal Rumble match?
So I just think that we've seen the push here over the last couple of weeks, and the big man, you know, what we're seeing here, the stamina of Drew McIntyre, and he's my pick to win this Royal Rumble. And the reason why, because Brock Lesnar is on the Raw brand. Drew McIntyre is also on the Raw brand, so he is going to need an opponent there. Now, we know that Brock Lesnar will be the number one entrant. You know, it'll be interesting to see where they place Drew McIntyre, but I could totally see him being the last one to eliminate Brock Lesnar to be the last man standing there at the Royal Rumble, and then he has that last shot, that official shot to give him the championship. If you listen to Corey Graves' podcast last week, Drew McIntyre did comment on there that, you know, he was supposed to have a future championship down the line, and it might be coming. He hinted at saying along the lines of might be sooner than later. I don't know, but from what I read through the lines there, this is where his time is coming here, and the true character we're being able to see here of Drew McIntyre, it just makes perfect sense for him to win this Royal Rumble and face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Yeah.
Joe Murray, give me the odds on John Cena and Drew McIntyre if you have them.
Yeah, so Drew McIntyre right now sits at 10-1, which is Mike Riley's choice. I don't see at the moment, any odds for John? You know what? 25-1
Okay.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
It's great.
And as we know, you know, Brock Lesnar is entering first. He is the second favorite at 9-2
Ooh.
So now, would you guys take a guess on who the favorite is?
Yes, but I don't want you to give it away just yet. Let's get your let's get your Royal Rumble male version of the Royal Rumble match winner, and then we'll get to names that we didn't pick for winning the Royal Rumble match.
I have a couple of reasons for this one. First and foremost, it's Kevin Owens at 7-1 odds. Not because I love Owens, not because I like what he's doing, but where is the Royal Rumble taking place this year, guys?
Houston, Texas.
I feel like Kevin Owens, the partnership that he has with Samoa Joe of late in the Big Show, there may be some sort of turn, right? Right? What's one thing that Big Show always does? He always has some heel turn. What's one big thing that's happening in here right now? Cheating scandal. And I just put him in the middle of all that. Heel turn, cheating, doing whatever he can to win. You know, he tells Paul Heyman he talks too much. He tells Seth Rollins he talks too much. And I don't know. I feel like that's a guy that has no friends in this type of match or this type of event. And I just feel like that's right up his alley. So I get the cheating in it. I get the heel turns. I have it all. And I have Kevin Owens at 7-1 odds, taking this home. And I thought this could be someone that, you know, could go on a nice little run. You know, WWE could give him that put. He's been there before. We know that Triple H has backed him in the past. And to me, you know, I like the Drew McIntyre pick, Mike. I do because, you know, he just had a nice match with Randy Orton. There's a lot there. Even the Cena is a great suggestion because, the guy wants to be in it. There's 20 people who've been announced and 10 haven't. So I just look at Kevin Owens as a guy in Houston, cheating, heel turns. It's a good spot and a good storyline.
So if I wasn't so take committed to John Cena, Kevin Owens would have been my pick. And he's the number one good guy on Raw. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was stealing signs to win the Royal Rumble match. Use a video monitor, pound on the ring post, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Have some fun with it.
Sure. Have some fun with it.
Somebody up and takes their number. Cheats to take their number.
Well, that's what Becky Lynch did last year.
Exactly.
Right.
I wanted to throw one other thing. R-Truth, right? He always gives props to John Cena. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's coming. Like, hey, you know, you get my spot, John, and I love you. Maybe we single like that in the Rumble.
Names to mention here, people who we did not pick. Joe Murray. Give me the odds on Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble.
Roman Reigns is the favorite to win the Royal Rumble at 7-4 odds, which is very good odds. Wow.
So Roman Reigns, I think, I agree with Vegas. Roman Reigns is the favorite to win the match. It's a very boring pick, in my opinion. It checks a lot of boxes.
Where does I'm kind of curious about. I mean, it does check a lot of boxes. This if he does win. This is his second Royal Rumble, if I'm correct, because 2016, right?
The year he got booed in Philadelphia.
2015. And, yeah, you got booed there a year behind. How about a guy like Randy Orton? What are his odds, Joe?
So Randy Orton, who's been a how many time winner now? Three?
At least two, maybe three. Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
33-1 odds.
Wow.
He's 33-1 odds. And if you want me to just kind of go off a few that I think that
Randy Orton is a 2-time winner of the Royal Rumble match.
There we go. 2-time winner. So I don't know if he's getting enough of the push to be the 3-time, but if I may, Jimmy, just quickly, who's going to be number two? Right? We know that Brock Lesnar is going to be number one.
Number two is either Roman Reigns, it's Samoa Joe, it's Bill Goldberg, it's The Undertaker, it's
Goldberg,
Cain Velasquez. Those are the names that I think are in play. It could be Keith Lee. It could be Matt Riddle. It's somebody that they wanted to pair with Brock who isn't on the Raw brand, and they didn't want to muddy the waters. And so they figured they just put Brock in the Rumble and they can have, because the theory on the Rumble, as described by Pat Patterson, is it's a new match every 2 minutes or every 90 seconds. Mm. So Brock Lesnar versus Matt Riddle. Brock throws Matt Riddle out before the buzzer goes off. Here comes Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe throws out Brock Lesnar. Something like that. That would be my guess. Is it's somebody that they want to pair with Brock, and they just don't want to do it on for a one-on-one match. Or they're teasing something for their Saudi Arabia show. So let's go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Through guys, who we think is going to win on the women's side of things. No surprise here. I'm going to pick Charlotte Flair to win the Women's Royal Rumble match. She was the runner-up last year. And from a storyline point of view, this is my way of getting Charlotte back into the championship picture. There's a story to be told with Becky and Charlotte, which has been ongoing since essentially right before WrestleMania 32 in Dallas on the main roster. I would suggest the SmackDown side of the roster because she lost her championship to Bayley. And in the bigger picture of things, Charlotte was going to be a main focus of the Fox show until the cluster of the WWE draft and making sure that this person is with this person and this couple is together and all that stuff. Charlotte ended up on Raw and really has not really found her groove on Raw. But I think this is the easiest way to get Charlotte back on her main event path to be in a featured championship match at WrestleMania in Tampa. And if you want a totally off-the-grid idea, you can have one woman, and I think this is going to be Mike's pick, win the Women's Royal Rumble match, and Charlotte Flair become the fifth female to enter the males match and have her win it. WWE has options. So Charlotte Flair is going to win a Royal Rumble, whether it be on the male side or the female side, in my opinion.
Interesting. And you know how well she works with Becky, and it would be a good draw right there, too, for those two to go at it. So you got two Raw competitors winning one, the men and the women's match, or whatever. Raw is taking home the crown here at the Royal Rumble, Jimmy, huh?
Well, Cena is an undeclared free agent.
Oh, true. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So, all right. I just figure, yeah, okay. Well, Charlotte's a good pick. That's a very good pick. What are her odds, Joe?
10-1 odds for Charlotte Flair.
Is that the highest odds on the board for the female competitors?
No, it is not. There are three ahead of her.
All right. Mike, who is your pick?
Well, I thought about this over the last few days, and I actually changed it. Originally, I was going to go with Shayna Baszler, but I'm going with Sasha Banks. And the reason why I'm going with Sasha Banks is because kind of what I just said to Jimmy there, thinking it was the Raw and the SmackDown. You got to have one from Raw on the men's side with Drew McIntyre, and Sasha Banks on the women's side there for SmackDown. Her and Bayley, that would set up the SmackDown Women's Championship match at WrestleMania. Bayley has turned to this heel character here, and I don't think she's going to lose to Lacey Evans at the Royal Rumble in that one-on-one match right there. Sasha could very easily turn face and kind of, you know, we knew she was in a bad place around this time last year and took some time off after WrestleMania, came back late in the summer. So this could be a good way for her to come back and show that she is of that championship caliber there. And for SmackDown, too, for the brand and the show to have a prominent champion, Sasha Banks as the Women's Royal Rumble champion, Sasha Banks as the future SmackDown Women's champion. She's my pick to win the Royal Rumble.
Shayna Baszler is your favorite at 4-5 odds. We mentioned Charlotte Flair's 10-1. Rhea Ripley, 6-1. Coming in second is my pick, Ronda Rousey. We've heard nothing about Ronda. We haven't seen Ronda. Becky's been the man now for a while. This is the road to WrestleMania. This is a spot where Ronda comes in, cleans house, sets up a big finish, either loses at the end to start something or wins the match to have a match at WrestleMania. We've heard nothing from Ronda. Why is she the second most favorite woman to win the Rumble? It's just, I think it's a good spot for her, and I think you get a huge pop from the crowd. And let's not forget, you just had something big with Conor McGregor a week ago. So why not bring back a former UFC star?
And what are her odds again?
5-1 odds are the second best on the board.
And how about Sasha?
Sasha Banks is 12-1 odds, just ooh, Charlotte Flair.
Good value.
So yeah. The reason why the story with Ronda is simple. It's she comes back, she's a mystery entrant, she wins the Rumble, and you get Becky versus Ronda at WrestleMania in Tampa, which makes a lot of sense in the same way that Shayna Baszler makes a lot of sense. Ronda's friend. And Shayna won Survivor Series, the main event of Survivor Series. Here's why I don't think Ronda Rousey's going to appear. She's doing a TV show, and she's trying to have a family. And there's a theory that Ronda just wanted to do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
WWE for a year, bucket list item. She did it. She didn't want to necessarily lose clean at WrestleMania, and that's why they had that botched finish.
You know, there's faster wrestlers, bigger wrestlers, stronger wrestlers, and younger wrestlers than me in the Rumble, but this is my state. Do you realize that Terry Funk is Texas bred and Texas fed, and I was born to rumble?
And you've got tall men, and you've got short men. And you've got perfect size men. So what I'm going to do is tip the big man over, throw the little man out, and Mr. Perfect will stand and remain the number one man in the World Wrestling Federation. See, I have no friends. I'm not looking for any friends. And when it's all said and done, Mr. Perfect is where it at. So whether you like it or don't like it, it's the way it is.
Zillions of people will witness, yeah. And the people that come into the ring will feel the pain, yeah. They'll feel the intensity of the Macho Man Randy Savage. Because I didn't become the World Wrestling Federation champion by, letting big time things slide by. I'm the champion now, and I'm going to be the champion of the Royal Rumble. Ooh, yeah.
Okay, and Arn Anderson.
Don Moody, if you want to win the Rumble, you got to be a loner. You got to go right for the juggler. All people, 30 men, just 30 numbers. That's the way we're going to view them. 30 men, 30 numbers.
The man that wins this match is not going to be the man that is the best wrestler, the best athlete. It's going to be the man that will do anything. The man that will take that extra step. Do just a little bit more than anybody else. Maybe sacrifice a little bit more than anybody else. Now me, that sounds just a lot like me.
So Joe Murray has left us. His connection wasn't necessarily up to par, and I'm not going to have you guys suffer through a full hour of bad connections. So yeah. We've said goodbye to Joe. We appreciate him joining the program.
We love
for
it,
the
Joe.
For the first block of the show. So Mike, you and I, let's run through some other names here. I know CM Punk is a name that you want to talk about as a potential winner of the Rumble. He is a 6-1 odds to win the Royal Rumble match. Your thoughts on CM Punk being in the match and possibly winning it?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it just makes perfect sense because, you know, here he is being on SmackDown with that, the commentary show for a little bit. And, you know, his name has just been so intrigued by fans throughout the world since he has departed the pro wrestling scene. And you know that, Jimmy, being in Chicago for the AEW event back in the fall or Labor Day weekend, his name everywhere when he's in Chicago. I know this is Houston and so forth, but it always is a very intriguing scenario for CM Punk to be there. And him versus Brock Lesnar, you know he can do the talking on the mic. You know he can do the working in the ring for Brock. You know he'll give him a good match. So I could totally see that happening. CM Punk would be a great mystery scenario, mystery Royal Rumble entrant. And you know that the, not the Astrodome, but Minute Maid Park, the roof on there would absolutely explode if CM Punk's music came out.
And you'd hear a lot of banging on the dugout steps to it for it as well. A theory, we talked a little bit about Roman Reigns before. Another name to mention on my list is Baron Corbin, King Corbin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have a theory that Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin are fighting in a Falls Count Anywhere match earlier on the show.
Okay.
The loser of that match might win the Royal Rumble match. Roman Reigns is the favorite to win the Royal Rumble match at 7-4 odds, as Joe told us. Yep. Baron Corbin is, it looks like he is a 40-1 favorite, mm-hmm. according to Joe Murray's Las Vegas odds. Yep. So that would lead me to believe that Baron Corbin wins that Falls Count Anywhere match, and then Roman Reigns comes back and wins the Rumble match. This, of course, is what they did with Becky Lynch last year. She tapped out to Asuka, and then she illegally entered the Royal Rumble match and won it there. So right. Baron Corbin, a name to watch. Roman Reigns, a name to watch. Seth Rollins, we briefly touched on. Samoa Joe, who I think is somebody to watch, especially if he has Vince McMahon's attention. And based on his Raw commentary, it seems that way from the words of Samoa Joe.
Yep.
Brock Lesnar as the number one entrant and the second favorite to win the match. That would be unique.
Mm-hmm.
I have Bill Goldberg on my list of people to watch.
Goldberg, huh?
Because a surprise entrant. Like he's under pay, he's on their payroll, so
sure.
Why not put him in there? Somebody who I think is near and dear to your heart is The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have The Undertaker win, you have Undertaker versus The Fiend.
Which I'd be fine with.
Which, you know, that does it for you, hopefully. Yeah. I did notice on Joe's odds here
yeah.
that Becky Lynch is a 50-1 favorite to win the men's match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
That is interesting, and that kind of plays into the Charlotte Flair theory for me.
Right.
Another name on Joe's odds list is The Rock.
I saw
at 40-1.
Right. You can't rule that out.
You can't ever rule a Rock appearance out.
But his I don't know. His father just died. I'm not saying, you know, I don't see it happening.
So I don't either, but it's interesting. It's just interesting that he would be on that list because we're all anticipating a Rock return, whether it be for a Hall of Fame or,
right.
you know, a match this summer or a match at Survivor Series or a Rumble appearance, whatever. Like, right. we anticipate that.
Right.
I did want to dance to two because I think the 30 women on the WWE roster is kind of thin as far as who is a realistic option to win.
Right.
We went through Charlotte. We went through Sasha Banks. We went through Ronda Rousey. We went through and mentioned Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
I would add two names to the list of potential winners. One is Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss, one of the more over females the company has, who will sneaky win a big match here or there.
Yep.
And like she won Money in the Bank, and I feel like that win was out of nowhere. And then she went on to win the title back. Yep. Alexa Bliss would be a name to watch because she's been in a tag team with Nikki Cross, which has been a great duo, and they could play off each other on Alexa Bliss's road to WrestleMania and a championship shot.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. You know, and you know, Alexa Bliss kind of, you know, underappreciated for what she's able to
100%.
Do. 100%. Yeah, and she was a champion for such a long time, only up until 2 years ago. And I know she sustained that injury and so forth, but she would be a really good pick and a dark horse, a true dark horse. Kind of piggybacking on your theory, Jimmy, if I may, what you said, you know, with the Roman Reigns losing to Baron Corbin, I won't be shocked if they pull the same stunt here if Lacey Evans loses to Bayley and she somehow wins the Women's Royal Rumble. Not thinking that's the best case scenario, but Lacey Evans got that big push last spring going right up against Becky Lynch. And again, like we said, WWE tends to repeat things a lot. So maybe they put her back in the spotlight there in that main event status to go up against Bayley again, or maybe even she chooses to go up against Becky Lynch. We could change the whole thing up again, put her on Raw after WrestleMania.
And Lacey Evans, I believe, was the number one entrant last year in the Rumble match. She went, I think she went a half an hour or so.
Yeah.
And we all know that Vince loves blondes, loves him some blondes. So, and she has been a featured performer because I think of her look. It's as simple as that. Her look is what has brought her here, and she's a hell of a hand in the ring. She just needs the reps.
Yeah, she does. And you know, she was the number one entrant. You're right, 29 minutes and 20 seconds eliminated by Charlotte. So there you go. You know, not ruling her out. I mean, you're probably going to have a surprise here or there too. Michelle McCool, I'd imagine Lita will probably make her way in. Trish Stratus. We talk about how thin
Trish
the roster
is. Trish, I thought, was retired by Charlotte at SummerSlam.
Oh, true.
I thought that was it.
But who says that? I mean, you can always come out of retirement, though,
oh,
right?
Of course you can, if the money's right. I mean,
yeah, for the Royal Rumble, of course, right? You know?
Of course. One other name I kind of want to mention as a potential out-of-nowhere candidate is Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that, and you could put her in the same category as a Lana or a Liv Morgan, I feel like those three are getting a substantial amount of airtime on their respective shows. And that's why making them a surprise winner and out of nowhere winner might make some sense and elevate them to another level.
Typically, and you know what? Maybe this is where WWE is going to, you know, they'll make that decision here with the Royal Rumble, because in the past, Jimmy, the Royal Rumble, especially, you know, predominantly men up until the last couple of years, it was always the favorite, always the one who was on that main event caliber. So now maybe they're at a transition, a crossroad of choosing to who will get that next push. And Mandy Rose makes perfect sense for a scenario like that. Even to touch on where I mentioned Lacey Evans to get that push right there too. But you know what? Her being on SmackDown, we know how much money Fox has paid into it. Definitely makes sense for a SmackDown superstar to win the Women's Royal Rumble.
Well, so just looking at the history of winners, I didn't see Randy Orton winning the year he won in the Alamo Dome in 2017. I didn't see Sheamus winning in 2012.
No.
Del Rio won the 40-man Royal Rumble match in Boston, which I think we saw coming.
Yeah.
But now it just sticks out like Alberto Del Rio, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what's he doing now?
And I feel like Randy Orton was supposed to win that one. John Cena was obviously a mystery entrant. But generally,
I remember the favorite. Yeah, I remember The Undertaker won one in San Antonio, too. Him and Shawn Michaels were the last two.
Yep.
And I really thought Michaels would win that there, being in his hometown and everything. But that was kind of a shock, too. But yeah, that's...
Ironically enough, they both ended up with championship matches at WrestleMania 23.
Right.
Shawn challenged Cena, and Undertaker challenged Dave Bautista.
Right. In Detroit, yeah. So it's... I don't know. That was kind of a little shock, too. But, yeah, typically all the favorites for the most part. So this is a chance for them to really change it up here a little bit.
Mike, is there anything really through the rest of the Royal Rumble card? There's only two matches that really jump at me. That's Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, for the Universal Championship. It's a strap match. So they do have a way to get the belt off of The Fiend if they want it. If it's a four-corner strap match, you can beat The Fiend on a fluke, and you can get the Universal Championship off him if you want. I don't see that happening. Yeah. And the other one is Becky Lynch versus Asuka, which should be a top-notch singles match. And I really would expect no upsets here. Becky would retain. Bray Wyatt would retain. I think Bayley's going to retain. Andrade's going to retain. The Roman Reigns Corbin thing we kind of talked about a little bit. This is the match that I know everybody in the world was clamoring for, which was Sheamus versus Chad Gable. That's a main event anywhere in the country. So that'll be your show stealing. Right. I don't know anybody who's just looking for Chad Gable and Sheamus.
Yeah, I'll take a hard pass on that one. As far as Becky Lynch and Asuka, this could be one of Asuka's final one-on-one matches on the main card. And when I say that, for Raw or SmackDown, she really wants to go back to NXT. She's been very open about that behind the scenes. And if they don't give her that, I would not be shocked if she does not renew and go back to Japan. So I could totally see this being one of the last times you see Asuka getting that main event status here in WWE. That is a good match right there, the Becky-Asuka one, no doubt. It's a good storytelling one. I mean, just for curiosity's sake, I'm not 100% in on it, but I do want to watch, see what the outcome is going to be, Roman Reigns and King Corbin, of course, because that could set the tone for the Royal Rumble. Other than that, though, no real investment there. I'm not even invested on the Fiend match in Daniel Bryan. I'm really not. The strap match, I'll take a pass there. I'm kind of invested, though, on Andrade and Humberto. The only reason I say that is because, again, Andrade getting that push here, he could make a splash in the Royal Rumble, especially if he were to lose the United States Championship. You have him come out as a dark horse. So that one kind of interests me a little bit there, too. A lot of mental notes to take on the lower part of the card before the Royal Rumble match. And I hope, Jimmy, I hope that they close the last two matches with the men's or women's Royal Rumble. Just build up to it the whole night. Build up that anticipation.
I think what they'll do is they'll do one of the Rumbles at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and then the other one at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
I know, because last year it ended like after midnight, didn't it?
It was so right.
Oh, it's brutal.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
The thing that actually helps, I think it helps us, is they're on Central Time, and I think it's a 7 o'clock start, too.
Thank God.
So I think that helps. The next Saudi show is February 27th. The Dirt Sheet says that the Dirt Sheets say that Kane versus The Fiend is going to be a headline match there. I find it interesting that they're doing a Saudi Mania in February and then WrestleMania about a month after in Tampa. But again, we're at the mercy. If the Prince wants a WrestleMania before WrestleMania, he gets a WrestleMania before WrestleMania. And my hope is that they're not going to tie whoever eliminates Brock into that Saudi show. I hope that that sets a build to WrestleMania, not to Saudi Mania.
Yeah. And this is, again, here we go. Like, so unnecessary, selfishly enough, because, we talked about this being a SmackDown on February 28th in Boston. You might have another scenario where these guys could be trapped from the air flight to Boston, which is not an easy direct flight out of Saudi Arabia. So you could see the NXT guys potentially again, like they did that one in the fall. It just doesn't do much for me. But good for, if this is what the Prince wants, if he wants Kane versus The Fiend, good. Good for you. I mean, I love Kane. I think he's great. But is he really going to be in the mix for a championship at WrestleMania? No, of course not. So give it to him here. If you want to have him here, fine. I'm fine with that. But again, a waste of a show, waste of all of our time. And again, it's all because of the money. That's all what it all comes down to.
Because, of course, it's about the TV money more than the public's money. And unfortunately, that's the way it's been for a while, and that's the way it's going to be for the next 4.5 years.
Nobody cares about this stupid show. Nobody.
Well, so the fans don't, but the Saudi prince does, the TV executives do, and the unfortunate thing, this is the reality of sports and pro wrestling right now, is the TV money outweighs the consumer money.
Which stinks.
And when you have a business, that's what you go to. That's why house shows don't matter anymore.
It's a shame.
That's what it is. That's why there are big events, and that's why Brock Lesnar continues to be a champion, is because the TV executives know who Brock Lesnar is, and they think that translates to what it is. If you listen to Arn Anderson's podcast, which he kind of suggests that Vince has all the money in the world and now he is just using his power to tweak people because he can. And that sucks.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. And you know what? Yeah, just showing that he can flex his muscle a little more than everyone else. That's just all power tripping the tail end of it here. And for the fan, when I say that, no one cares. Yes, that's what I meant. No one cares, a fan. If there's any fan out there that really cares about the freaking Saudi Arabia show, you're going to be heavily invested. Tweet me at Sarge985. You can email the show too, because I have not seen anyone, Jimmy. I really cannot think of anyone who really is going to invest their time in this stupid show. What a waste.
I'll be watching probably in the background.
No, you won't.
Show. Yeah, I watch all these shows, put it in the background during the radio show.
Well, the daytime, yeah.
Yeah, but Billy Lanny and I have ongoing commentary, which maybe we'll put online one of these days.
I'd love to hear that, actually.
So, Mike, do you want to do a lightning round, or do you want to talk about three AEW things?
I'm good for lightning if you want.
All right, let's do a lightning round. Let's go.
Lightning. All right, here we go. All right. So, James, with the Royal Rumble coming up this Sunday, I thought about this after watching a replay of the 1990 Royal Rumble this past week. It was Jesse the Body Ventura and Tony Schiavone. And if you could have one commentary team to call this Sunday's Royal Rumble, who would you have on play-by-play and color? Two guys, go.
Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better.
Their performance during the Ric Flair 1992 Royal Rumble was awesome, and I don't think it'll ever be topped again.
Yeah. And a close second would be Vince McMahon and Bobby Heenan. Anything Bobby Heenan he worked with touched gold. It was awesome. So those are my top two right there, but Gorilla and Bobby. All right, now how about this? With the Royal Rumble coming this Sunday as well, if you could rewrite any Royal Rumble finish from the year, which one would it be?
So I wouldn't have Big John Studd win in Houston in 89. I would have had either Randy Savage, who was the WWF champion, or Hulk Hogan, who would go on to WrestleMania 5 to become the WWF champion. I would have one of those two in it.
Okay. I'd go to 1999. I would not have Vince McMahon win the 1999 Royal Rumble. Now, we know he did not end up in the main event at WrestleMania that year. But I just thought it was a weak finish, and the fact that he was out for such a long time for the majority of that match and then coming back to win like he did, screw over Austin. Funny at the time, but just disrespect to the Royal Rumble itself, I thought, for the everyday performers.
And I probably wouldn't have had – I would also go back to the Philadelphia Royal Rumble, and Daniel Bryan should have won that one. Yep. And 2014, the year that Batista won, I would have had Roman Reigns win that one.
Yep. Two major screw-ups. Two of them. Two more. Enhancement talent, especially on Raw, it's really been kind of jobbers for a lot of these guys. Most recently, Matt Hardy got buried by Eric Rowan this past week, and then Shelton Benjamin a couple of weeks ago. What are your thoughts on WWE bringing back the jobber scenario here for performers to put them over, especially established talent?
So when they rebranded Raw, about 3-4 years ago, I thought that we were going to see more of the locals just be out there. They were going to do the box promos, things like that. I don't like how they're using Matt Hardy. I'm a huge Matt Hardy fan. I know I have an idea as to why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to lower his value, because the theory is he's going to AEW, he's going to Ring of Honor, he's right. going somewhere else, and he's been very open about it.
Yeah.
So they're, even though he's listed as a SmackDown star, he's being sent to Raw to lose matches. And he's a hand that they trust, right?
Yeah.
You can't push everybody, not everybody can win. So I wish it wasn't Matt Hardy, but that's a personal preference. This is the old territory where you'd give your notice and they'd have you lose on the way out. And Matt Hardy, I don't think, has any issue with it. He's fine with it.
Yeah.
To answer your question a little bit more directly, I'm fine with doing the enhancement matches as long as there's something to go along with it. I mean, how many weeks did the Viking Raiders just beat up on local talent.
Right.
Only to drop the titles to the first time tag team of Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. And thank God Seth Rollins was so excited he won another tag team title.
Right. Right. It's just, you know, it's a throwback to the old WWF Superstars Wrestling
Prime
Challenge,
time wrestling.
If you will. Primetime wrestling, things along those lines. Absolutely. It's, and again, here we go. They're doing the whole thing a circle, coming right back to where they once were.
And maybe the point of doing the enhancement matches is you had Rey Mysterio and Andrade have a great ladder match.
Yes, I'm fine with that. I have no issue with that.
So it's just, but it's a pacing thing.
Yeah, just don't make it a squash. If you're going to make it a squash, then just bring back the Brooklyn Brawler or the Duke of Dorchester. Go ahead. So that's what I got on that one. And then finally here, it has been discussed, WrestleMania potentially being a two-day event. Would you like it to stay at one day or make it a whole weekend, 2 days?
So I would prefer it to be a one-day show. But if you're going to have two separate brands, don't you have to have two separate shows? You do one on Saturday, you do one on Sunday. But my preference is not everybody's on WrestleMania. It's a four-hour show. Sunday night, whatever that April Sunday night is. But if you have two brands, then I feel like you kind of have to have a Saturday, Sunday if you're going to put everybody on the shows. Because as somebody, because we've both attended WrestleManias and their marathons.
Too long.
I mean, Patriot games are easier to deal with than WrestleManias.
Right, right.
What do you think, Mike?
A lot right there. Yeah, no, if they're going to keep it the distance the way they're going with these 6 hours here, you got to seriously consider it to 2 days. And it would make the championship more prominent, I guess you could say, because you really want two championships on one night. I think you could kind of spread it out. However, though, if they're not going to change it with the timing here, 6 hours, move it up to an afternoon, like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Figure it out. Do not have it start at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. Way too late. But I'm with you. Less is more. 4 hours is fine. Not everyone needs to be on that card.
Exactly. So that'll do it for this week's edition of Wrestling Inside the Ropes. And before we wrap up, Mike, congratulations. You were hired, to the best of my knowledge, you were actually hired to be the in-stadium voice of the New England Revolution soccer team.
Thank you, James.
Mike, I just want to know, what's your favorite Revolution match?
The next one. Come on out to Gillette Stadium.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Everybody enjoy the Royal Rumble. Mike and I will be back with you after the Royal Rumble match. You can follow Joe Murray at Joey Murr on Twitter. He is, of course, the co-host of the Over Under podcast along with the Loose Cannon Dan Lifshatz. Mike Riley's Twitter handle is at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. Our email address, if you should want to send us an email, is WrestleCast985@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart, and enjoy the Royal Rumble. It's WrestleMania season. Get excited.
I'm going to tell y'all, yes, sir, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWF. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, the brain.
Woo! Woo! Let's give a big one. Woo!
We're not the kind of guys to say we told you so, but we told you so.
Hey, okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world. Put that cigarette out.
See, this is where we got a problem. You TV guys always got the cameras where you don't belong. Well, the problem is I'm not talking to anybody until I throw 29 pieces of trash over the top rope and advance to WrestleMania to face the champ. So you can take your camera and stick it, son. That's it. Cut. Cut.
And what you gonna do, WWF, when Hulkamania rumbles all over you?
Finally, The Rock has come back to New York City.
tonight, you and 29 other superstars will be in that ring for the Royal Rumble match, and you have a bullseye on your chest. Is there any superstar who you may be concerned with?
Well, The Rock says this. There are two WWF superstars who The Rock has a concern with. There are two who might give The Rock problems. Number one is going to be Crash Holly. Number two is going to be Headbanger Mosh. And The Rock says if he could get by those two, then he might have a shot at winning the Royal Rumble. The Rock guarantees to win the Royal Rumble right here in New York City. The Rock says, as sure as The Rock has the Brahma Bull tattooed on his arm, is as sure as The Rock is going to WrestleMania and becoming, without a shadow of a doubt, the best damn WWF champion there ever was. If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.